Bro.
Bro. Bro.
What up, bro?
Dude, bro, guess what?
What, bro?
Bro, guess what we get to do?
What do we get to do, bro?
We get to bro out.
Bro!
Bro! That was ridiculous.
Just wow.
God, that's so good.
It goes so well with these incense I found in Dubai. Just wow. Wow.
Oh, man. Okay, enough of that craziness. This is the first episode of Bro Team Gamercast.
Yes.
What?
Just the first, the worst, the best, probably the first of the two, you know, but whatever.
First of the two. I hope we do four just to spite you.
Oh, indeed. That would be terrible. That'd just be awful.
It would be for people listening. Sorry. We're just going to pre-apologize for everything you might hear.
Indeed. For the younger viewers at home, make sure you get your parents' approval and...
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Be like, Mommy, I'm listening to something that might have some vulgarity to it. Is that okay?
Well, oh, fuck, dear.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Bro Team Gamercast.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Austin.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny.
Yep.
I don't ever call you by Austin.
No one ever does.
Just call you Gadge. But I always mean to call you Austin, just because, like, your name is, like, super badass, right? Like, Austin. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes! Right? Gonna smash a beer into my forehead quick.
Whoa! A beer? You're underage, man.
Not in Canada, which is...
5 minutes
away.
Yeah,
5 minutes away.
So let's, what do you do in Canada, eh?
Oh, yeah, there, eh? Oh, just head her up to the Timmy's there, bud.
Wow.
Wow.
Anyway.
Now that we just already lost the Canadian viewer base.
Yeah, they're gone. They're out. Well, see ya.
Except maybe Leah.
Except for maybe Leah. Actually, he already said he's not.
That's true, yeah. That just means talk about him all we want.
Let's do it. I hate that Canadian
bastard. Yeah, yeah. Screw him, man. Gotta carry him in PUBG.
We'll talk about that later, actually.
Yes.
I want to listen to talk about that. But anyway, for anybody who's trying to figure out what the hell this is about, we are a gaming-centered-oriented whatever podcast. As some of our listeners might know, I also co-host a Final Fantasy XIV podcast called The Minstrel's Ballad. Right now, it's kind of bi-weekly. Gadge, a.k.a. Austin, has been a guest host on that one. But for those who are curious, Gadge was the writer of Gaming Outside the Nest for the Telfeather. What we decided to do is that way we can have more frequent content because there's just a slew of awesome games out there. We decided, hey, let's just turn Gaming Outside the Nest into a podcast, and I was like, we need to team up, that way we can just bromance the hell out of it.
Yes.
And here we are.
In case you don't know, Kevin is my gay lover.
I am the little spoon.
And there's actually something I was thinking about the other day, you know, the minstrel, the name of your other podcast brought up, you know, the minstrel ballad, you know, female bards are pretty weird when you think about it, man. They go through a lot of minstrel cycles.
Oh, wow. Here's something funny. Speaking of that,
yep.
When I told my wife, Darren, yeah, when we were starting the Minstrel's Ballad, yeah, I told her the name of the podcast, and she looked at me. She was like, really? Y'all know that's very close to something else. And I had to assure her that the Final Fantasy fan base would know that it is a game-related thing. And it has nothing to do with the feminine monthly cycle.
Well,
Amber is going to kill us.
Oh, for sure. Especially because I'm pretty sure she plays Bard.
Yeah, I think she does in her spare time. Yes, she does.
We're dead. Well, this will be the first and only episode of...
Hey, so you were closer than I was.
Exactly, indeed.
So essentially we're going to spend each podcast just seriously geeking out about the stuff we're playing, the stuff we're looking forward to. And yeah, we know that there are a slew of just like variety video game podcasts out there. But I mean, we're bros together and we think it's fun hope you guys think it's fun.
Get off my bro, bro.
Get off my... That was the first thing. The first bro moment we ever had. We were playing Destiny, and I think we were in a strike, and I was just getting bombarded. And then all of a sudden, here you come. Get off my bro, bro!
Just and Titan it, smash him, and then it was just love at first sight.
Love at first Titan smash, whatever it was. That moment I knew it was meant to be, and I knew that eventually I would share a bed with you, and guess what?
It happened.
It happened.
Multiple times.
And then it ended with me dropping the elbow.
Oh, the people's elbow still scared the shit out of me.
All right, so you brought up a Player Underground earlier.
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah, so you've been playing that a lot. I haven't touched it yet. I know you guys are trying to get me to, but I haven't forked out the cashish to do it yet. So you and Leah were playing the other day.
Yes.
Run us through your victory moments.
Okay. So we dropped in, into a duos match, and we kind of got geared up. We really only had like a magazine of ammo each, about 30 shots or so, and so a couple shotguns. We were actually doing pretty shitty. Level 1 vests, backpacks, and we spent 3/4 of the match running across the entirety of the map to keep up with the circle. We blew all of our meds along the way because we just could not find any cars. And we end up around this place called Valley, which there's like a big bowl and a bunch of buildings are in the center, but there's this huge like constantly rising like rock going around it. And we went around it to the back, and there were like 3 teams back there. So we just start unloading on these guys, dropping team after team after team. Just, I think I had like 14 kills that game. It's just insane. And there was this one set of 2 guys that were hiding behind these rocks. I down one of them, and he goes to his buddy to revive him. So I cook a damn grenade, throw it over the rock at him, just kill them both. We go and loot him. And then from there, it's just, I don't know, it's when you get into that zone, man. Like, I suck at early game fights in there, but once it gets to the mid and late game, there's just something that clicks, and I can do so much better. And my eyes were overdone, and I could see everything. It was kind of weird, because at a point in PUBG, in those smaller circles, and the longer it goes, you're playing a mental game of what's out of place as to, like, where people could be. So it's a lot of, it's just got crazy, and it was just me dropping people. Leah never actually fired a shot until those 3 shots that you hear. He wanted to shoot his gun.
He wanted to do something. Yep. He was tired.
He was like, Gaj, carry me, and I carried him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He was tired of not, like, bringing something to the table, so he's like, I'm going to shoot 3 bullets, maybe. Yeah,
just
maybe
into
I'll
the
hit
air.
Something. I think he might have killed a bird, right?
Yeah, maybe. He probably killed an innocent pigeon.
An innocent bystander. So, yeah, so I saw that video. I thought that was pretty cool. And you said something about how middle of the match, you kind of get into this zone. I read this article about how people do better in that game if they try not to do good in that game. Do you have that kind of experience, or are you actually trying to do good?
It's not like an active thing. It's just you get to a point where you just start noticing things way better, and you can, your senses are raised. I don't know. It is a game that I feel can literally like fuel adrenaline in your body because of how intense it gets. So that might have something to do with it, because there are games where we just get fucking pumped, man. Oh,
that's awesome. Is it just... How many, typically, squad size do you run?
A lot of the time, we do 3-man. Some of the times, we actually manage to get full 4-mans. See that are duos. I've soloed here and there. I placed top 10, but I think I've only got like 1 solo win under my belt. I had like 16 kills, though. Felt pretty good.
Placement-wise, what do you typically average?
8th.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think right now, because they just reset the leaderboard, but my squad's KD is around 5-6, and my duo is around 8. Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty cool. I have one thing to say to that. You ready?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, oh my God. Yeah, I see a lot of that game on Twitch.
Oh, it is just skyrocketed in popularity. It's just nonstop growing. And they announced that it's going to be releasing on the Xbox One X, I think. I don't know if it's just coming to the One. I know it's coming to the One X. But yeah, they announced it for that at Microsoft's big E3 thing.
Oh, I did not see that. That's interesting. Yep.
And they want to do cross-platform between the two.
Ooh, see, that would be so unfair.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, you know they're going to get dumpstered, right? But
just ridiculously destroyed. Yeah,
let's be real here. Mouse and keyboard has an advantage.
Mouse and keyboard has a distinct advantage. Like, for real.
Yeah, I remember there was actually a post from Jeff Kapkin on Overwatch. Because players on PS4 were plugging in their mouse and keyboard into their PS4s and dumpstering people. And he's like, yeah, we want to find a way to disable that, so you can't do that. It's an unfair advantage.
Didn't this attachment come out that made it easy, like, to kind of hack that, right? That you could plug into the PS4 that way you could...
Yeah,
I saw that.
It was like, oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, man, people are getting nuts on that.
Well, speaking of mouse and keyboard, I'm going to use that to transition over to a game I've been playing pretty much nonstop since it came out. Yeah. And it is, you know it, let's hear it.
Do I hear it? Do I know it? Have you been actively playing it? I know you've been playing Splatoon.
God, there it is, finally.
Wait, how does that relate to mouse and keyboard? That's not like
I'm
going to
tell you. No. I'm trusting your bro.
Okay, bro, let's hear it, bro.
Let's hear it. Okay, so I've been playing Splatoon 2. And I started off using the joysticks, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's like, okay, it works, blah, blah, blah. And then I watched these videos about how apparently I was doing it wrong because I was using just my joysticks. They're like, no, you have to use motion control because it's so super close to the precision of a mouse. So I was like, okay, I'm going to force myself to learn this. And by God, it is 100% true. Like, you sit around and you seriously aim with the motion control and you use the right joystick to move around and stuff like that. But holy shit, dude, like, seriously, an uber step up in my performance. I was like, this is ridiculous. You got to get over the first hurdle, though, because you're gonna do it and you're going to be like, this is the dumbest thing. Why am I trying to play this game with motion controls? It's impossible. But once you figure it out, holy hell, like, for real.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And seriously, since then, it's such an addicting game. And having that, having the ability to play with motion controls, it ups your game and it makes it more addicting. So it's just so fun. Splatoon 2, it's so fun. Like, I'm having a blast playing this game. Everybody picks on me, too, because it's either the guys at work are like, oh, that game was made for kids, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut up. No, it wasn't. Because we all know the thing. Call of Duty, made for adults, nothing but kids play them. Games like Pokemon, Splatoon, you know, whatever, are made for kids, nothing but adults play them, right?
This is true. It's the adults that grew up playing those games that are now like, oh, no, these are ours, man.
Don't take these, you son of a bitch.
What the fuck? Stepping on ours. Sacred ground.
Yeah, get off my turf, man.
Yeah, I do like the motion controls. I like that the game had that, like, next level of depth that you could go and learn to, like, master motion controls. It's actually something similar happened when I was more hardcore into playing For Honor. I haven't touched in a bit, but I've actually been slowly getting back into it because they've been doing so many good changes, and they've been showing off a lot of things coming up. Like, they're starting the new season. They're releasing a the Gladiator for the Knights and the Highlander for the Vikings. And the Gladiator's a retiarist, which are the dudes that use the tridents and nets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're getting added into the game. That'll be pretty sweet. They already released this the Roman Centurion, and they just punched the shit out of everybody. And then they released the Shinobi too.
That's awesome.
The heroes are pretty cool, and they're adding because a big problem with the game, like it was a good game at its core, and then just so many issues with a lot of the design choices they've made. It fell into a really defensive meta because there was a thing called parrying, and essentially you could do an attack at right as their attack's about to hit yours, and then you guarantee an opening on them to either guard break them and get a heavy or heavy them, or pretty much do whatever you want and turn the tide. So it became everyone just sitting there waiting to see who could parry the other person first. Yeah, and it was made worse by peer-to-peer servers, but they're completely absolutely destroying parry to change up the meta and make people actually play offensively. And they're adding dedicated servers.
Yeah, that's exciting. I actually hope selfishly that you get back into it and stream it a lot more, because you stream a lot of PlayerUnknown right now.
Yes, I do.
I could, For Honor is something I could see you streaming the hell out of.
I absolutely loved that game too. But a cool thing that reminded me because of your Splatoon story was that extra level of depth is most people go in there and it's like, nah, you gotta play with a controller, man. This is like, it's like the way to go. You know, it's so much easier. But the issue is playing on a controller, A, you have a dead zone, and B, it sounds weird to say, but like it takes more time and input and like effort to like slam your triggers and bumpers than it does to just click a mouse button. So me and my buddy one day, we were getting so mad because like all these people could react so much quicker, and I finally went and looked up a lot, and like there was a secret crowd that was getting into using mouse and keyboard on the game. So we went and we like just smashed the hell out of each other for like 2 or 3 days straight, just learning to play with mouse and keyboard. And then we finally went out against like people again, and we're just destroying them because that extra level of depth and like timing advantage you had was just nuts.
Yeah, it's almost like those things were put in for a reason, right?
Exactly.
And we resist them at first.
Yep.
But once you get in there and you learn it, you're like, well, holy hell, this is the way this game was meant to be played.
This is how it's truly meant to be.
Right. It makes so much sense now. It's ridiculous.
I have unlimited power.
Somehow I feel like a god.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. And Nintendo, I applaud you. Who did For Honor? I know this.
Ubisoft.
Thank you. Yep. Yes, we applaud you for making us learn your ways and become masters.
Indeed.
Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah, that should be fun. I played the For Honor beta. I never bought the game, but if you end up liking it, I might try it out. That way we have more, you know, more shit to play together.
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun.
And then I've been watching the Wildlands updates. They have the beta actually starting for that PvP mode right now. Like, they have that beta going on.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I forgot they were doing that. Yes. We'll have to get back into that, too.
Yes. Get the squads rolling again.
Yeah. I wish I had a squad today. Today is it's Saturday that we're recording this, so the Team Mayo, Team Ketchup Splatfest is going on, and I've marathoned it all day. I got to the highest Splatfest rank, but I wish I had a squad to have joined me on the journey.
Oh, of course, with the Nintendo Switch. Oh, that system, like, I was so skeptical. skeptical about it at first. I was super skeptical about it at first, just because, I mean, the Wii U, so.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, absolutely.
I was super skeptical, and then everyone started getting them, and everyone's, like, praising it. So I'm like, oh, man, I wonder if it's actually good. And then I finally go over to my buddy's house, and he has one. And we didn't even end up talking much. It was just us gaming, and I was sitting there playing his Switch, playing Zelda for God knows how many hours.
I seriously think, like, it might not be as hardware beastly as, you know, the PS4, the Xbox One right now, but it doesn't matter because the function of it is really, number one, it's clever. Number two, it's working, and it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm super excited. Like, I bought Pokken when it came out for the Wii U, right?
Yeah.
Just because I'm a big Pokemon fan, and it's a fun game. It's a fun game concept, but there wasn't a lot of traction with it on the Wii U. The fact that they're bringing it over to the Switch is amazing to me.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think it's going to get so much more traction. There's going to be so many more players, I hope, playing it because, and I've already got it reserved. I'm already, you know, of course I did. So when it comes out, you know, so I've got that. I've got, you know, Splatoon, you know, and all the other stuff that they're putting out for this that is has this these multiplayer capabilities to it. It's just it's exciting because it's something I can, yeah, I can put it and do it on the TV, but I can also take that bitch into bed one night if I just want to chill.
Right.
Oh. It's perfect. Like when I got it and when I was playing Zelda, the majority of my playtime is at night in bed, and I'm all like, holy shit, I'm laying down in bed playing a main console Zelda game.
Right? Oh, dude, like, and I don't know if it's just me, but when I was actually playing Zelda on the Switch, I actually kind of preferred it a bit more on the actual, like, gamepad than I did actually on a TV.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just, I liked it so much more just having, I don't know, I kind of like screens being closer, but that might have something to do with it. But it felt so good. The motion controls were sweet, not to mention how just absolutely amazing that game in general was. But
yeah, and then the fact that when we had our gathering event for our Final Fantasy 14 free company, you know, I think four of us brought our Switches, and we all had Mario Kart, and we were all sitting around tables, and, you know, each console was having two players because we would share the Joy-Cons, and we were all playing Mario Kart. And just that, being able to do that was so freaking cool.
Yeah, all of I remember. Yeah, there was six of us in the one room because you had it was you and Leah on either your on I think your Switch and on the bed, and then me and Nin were sitting on the side of the bed on I think T's Switch because he let us use it. Yeah, we had that one, and we were actually unlocking stuff for him too while playing. I thought that was really cool. And
and then Kuze was
and,
sitting.
Hammy, was it Hammy?
Yep.
Yeah, Kuz and Hammy were sitting then on Lur's bed, and it was just so great. Everyone in that one room, it was like, oh, dude, it's like a LAN party dream, man. Oh,
exactly.
It's freaking awesome. That was an amazing gaming experience that I definitely have to give Nintendo kudos for, because, I don't know, it's rare to experience something like that.
Yeah, and I think that was the point, right? Like, they wanted to bring gamers together. Yeah, and we were pretty much the commercial for the Switch.
We could have been a commercial for the Switch in that room just for Mario Kart and free advertising right there, man. Just all the way.
All the way. Speaking of advertising, we are not getting paid to say this, but I am drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper
my God.
Right now. Yeah. Wow, you didn't see that coming, did you? Well,
I might as well counteract you with my Pepsi Wild Cherry.
Pepsi Wild Cherry versus Diet Dr. Pepper. That's the next Splatfest, I hope.
Oh my God. Well, I suppose it's better than what people are calling the current one.
So it's Team Mayo, Team Ketchup. But if you play it, a lot of people on the internet are pretty much equating it to blood and semen.
That's so sick, dude. Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. So it's funny, too, because they're all like, okay, this is a Japanese-based game-ish kind of thing.
Yeah.
The characters have tentacles.
Yeah. Oh, no. Now you're bringing it to territory. This is... Oh, no. Oh, now the game's ruined just forever.
Is it ruined or is it better?
Or did it just get better?
Better. Yes. So, yeah. So that's where we are in life right now. I'm playing a... quote unquote, what people say, kids game that is based around hentai.
Yep, pretty much.
Done. He's not kids game.
He's living the Japanese life, man, for sure.
Yeah, essentially.
Oh, man, that's absolutely fantastic. And we're going to be shut down by so many people now.
Yeah.
Nintendo's like, yeah, thanks for all your praise. Now never talk about us again.
Yeah, we appreciate you talking awesome about the Switch and Mario Kart, but you ruined it shortly after.
With the Splatoon and die thing. Yeah, no, that's just not okay. Oh,
nope,
man.
Not at all. You and I, at the end of this month,
get to
buckle up together on a great journey.
Mr. Bones' wild ride, except I don't want to get off, because this is Destiny 2!
Destiny 2 PC beta!
Oh, buddy. Oh, I am...
So, I played the PS4 beta, and it was awesome. The story mission they give you is really good. The strike they gave you was fun. But I seriously spend a lot of my time in Crucible.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows it's 4-on-4 now instead of 6-on-6. And dude, 4-on-4, I'm a huge fan.
See, the only thing that bugged me with it, though, and something I actually noticed, because I pointed out to you the other day, Anthem has a base squad of at least 4 players that they showed off in their trailer at the end. They had 2 people just join in, and it was really cool. But Destiny, they want to try and make it this seamless experience where, you know, you can just go between Crucible and, you know, PvE without having to, like, do much. But it's like, Destiny's still 3-man squad's base. It's like, can't wait to be that guy that has to drop from the fire team.
Yeah, thanks for coming to Crucible with us, but we're going to go do this strike and we don't need you.
Fuck off.
It's like, well, yeah, pretty much. You know, I totally get that. Think when you put it like that, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, maybe.
I mean, it could always get worked on. But and I mean, there's like that's just one of the few bad things. Like, there's really good stuff they're adding. Like the actually, this is the other bad thing that bugged me. But it goes in with the good. Is they're adding that ability to actually queue for raids and stuff. But the issue is they're not extending that ability to queue for hard mode raids.
Really?
Yeah, you won't be able to do it for hard mode, but so it's like, I guess in the meantime, well, at least since we're going to be playing on PC, access to LFG and stuff is going to be just a lot easier, because if you're on PC, you know, mostly everyone has a mic, fucking, it'll be so easy to just expect that stuff. People, you know, you hop in Discord and make a Discord raid server for randoms and just go raid for LFGs, but for the hard modes, at least. It's just kind of shitty, because at least we still didn't get to experience the Wrath of the Machine raid. We haven't done it. We're both like 392. We could go do it.
Yep.
And we haven't gotten to experience the reworked raids.
And that was the biggest, I'm going to say disappointment, but yeah. I know that's a strong word, but that was the biggest disappointment about playing on PS4, because a lot of people we play with, they don't have consoles, or they don't dedicate gaming time to consoles. Yeah, they didn't dedicate
the time to get their characters up. Oh,
right. So now that it's on PC, I don't even think we'll need to utilize looking at the LFG.
Yeah, with so many people that we know.
Exactly.
Getting so hyped. Cause I know, at least just off of our friends alone, I think Lur was interested. I know Leah's going in. I think T was interested. I know Kuz wants in. I know Sid wants in. And yeah, I know, I mean, Ben wants in. That's 6. Me and in, you, yeah, right there. Then that's 8. So I mean, we'll definitely be able to reform and bring about the new age of bro team checks on Destiny 2.
Dude, you aren't even kidding. Like, you and I are seriously going to do in this game what should have been done in the first one. By everybody. Yes. We're going to lead this amazing team, and we're going to conquer worlds.
Yes, we will kill Gary, Glenn, Gil.
Gil. Something with the G.
Indeed, yes. Gaul!
He's such a badass.
Dude, I spoiled that for myself, just what he looks like. Just this huge, he's like as big as he's a bit bigger than the Legionnaires, and he has that sweet-ass white armor. He doesn't wear a helmet. It's like, oh, he looks crazy. I kind of hope there's like a, because I don't know if, did you ever do the King's Fall raid?
The King's Fall, that was Taken King, yes. Right? Yes.
Okay, do you remember the transition where Oryx goes into like that huge mode where he's like taking up the entire stadium? I hope there's kind of one for him, because I imagine he'll be a raid boss. I hope there's one for him where like he actually like maybe puts like this sweet ass Praetorian helmet on, and you have to like fight off legions of the Cabal, because to me the Cabal were like the coolest enemies, man. Like the one scene with Cade, it was in The Taken King as well, when you had to go and kill the Shield Brothers. And after you killed the tank, the first boss, or mini-boss, whatever you want to call it in there, you had to kill the tank, and then you went to go to run to them. And after you killed them, he's like, oh, you better be careful. You know, these are the Cabal. They have 6 words for advance and none for retreat. It's just some of the way, just the way he said, delivered that line every time always just made me go like, oh, fuck, dude, this is going to be sweet.
Yep, and can we also say, fuck the Shield Brothers.
Oh my god, I hate that strike, actually. Like, I love the lines, but like, I can, it's sometimes it's the easiest strike in the world, other times it's like you get it and you're just like, oh no.
Like the first time I went in there, it took me forever to get it beaten.
Yep.
Because just, man, he's crazy. Jumping all over the place.
They're jumping at you, and then you have these hordes of just constantly spawning Cabal, and They're dangerous, man. Cabal are just dangerous. They have the fucking... they have the phalanx shields. They have so much armor sometimes in the shields. And their heads are so tiny.
They're like the... did you see the real life real life Mario movie where the Koopa's heads are just... Yeah, it's kind of
I think I sent you a picture once, too. It was like, be careful of who you mess with in high school, because the Cabal without helmets actually kind of look like grunts from Halo. So it was like a white-armored grunt, and then it shows like then and then now, and it's just Gaul, and he's huge. It's like, oh, my God. That's awesome.
That is awesome. He, like I said, he's a badass. There's just one part in the story mode where, you know, I'm pretty sure anybody who's possibly listened to this has probably seen the story mode to some extent or played the console betas. So you meet him at the end of that story, and he's like just talking down to you.
Oh, really?
And he says, there's this one part you're on the ground and you're looking up, and he's like, do not look at me. And like, yes, you're not worthy to look at me. And it's just like, dude, it's going to be so good to kick your ass.
Yeah, right? Jesus.
You know, I can't wait to build up myself again and kick your ass.
Another thing, too, was I like that each class kind of in it got this, like, exclusive ship and, like, exotic. I don't know if we'll actually get those in the game. It'd be sweet if we did, but the Titan one, I think it was, like, Sweet Business was its name. That's the minigun, of course, and you've heard me plenty enough go off on how much I love that minigun. Oh, it's crazy.
And then, it was a workhorse, I can tell you that much.
But another thing was the ships. Each class's ship looked amazing, and the Titans, it was, like, the Leonid Mark... or the Leonid MV, something like that. And, it just looked so sick. It looked like a pelican from Halo.
Yeah, it did, actually. Now that you bring that up.
It was amazing. I don't know. I also really, really, really used to love Halo. Like, I played all of them up to 3, and then I've watched Reach and 5 and 4. I've watched through the full cutscene gameplays people put up. And I'm a huge fan of that series, and I love a lot of the things they still take from it and advance on.
Yeah, I played 1 through 3, and then I didn't do much with it after that.
Yep.
But I did like it. It was good. And obviously the first Halo was great because, let's face it, Bungie did great work. Oh. And you can see that in
Halo
Destiny.
2 was amazing. And then Halo 3, I wish also for a point, because Halo 1 also came out on PC. I wish they'd kind of return to those roots, but apparently they're planning on doing it because they have that Play Anywhere thing going on that they're really trying to support, which is just letting Xbox games simultaneously release on both. Like, I think, but you have to have Windows 10. But admittedly, if you're a gamer, get Windows 10, man. Like,
get Windows 10.
It had a bad release. Everyone knows that, but it's blown out of proportion now. They fixed a lot of the issues with it. People were just mad because, you know, it was a forced update, and sometimes it was really buggy and all these different kinds of things. But, I mean, they fixed a lot of it. It runs lighter than 7. It's faster. They actually are adding some sort of actual gaming mode to help, like, older systems be able to game better. But, yeah, they've released Gears of War 4, I think, came out on PC. And they released the new Halo Wars.
Yes.
I think that came out on PC, too. The Halo Wars isn't exactly something to brag about, but...
Come on, man. Game of the year.
Game of the year. Halo Wars 2. You heard it here.
You heard it here.
God.
Speaking of PC gaming, there is... I talked to you about this earlier, but the Hell's Blade is coming out. Senua's Sacrifice. Ninja Theory's putting that one together.
Yep.
And for a while, I thought it was just PS4. And then I found out that it's PC as well. I hope that it's just not a crappy port.
Yes.
But I'm going to get it on PC. That way I can stream it. But I'm so glad that they did that, right? I would have bought it on PS4 regardless, because I've been keeping up with that game for a while. But when I saw that it was PC, and consoles are great, but there's just... If I can do it on a PC, I want to do it on a PC, right? So I was super excited about that. That was a weird tangent I went on. But, you know, we were talking about PC gaming. Let's go with the flow.
Well, there's actually a game. Okay, do you remember THQ? The guys who made Darksiders?
THQ. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so THQ got bought out. And by the person, like, well, when after they went out, like, a lot of their rights to their games got split up and divided. But a lot of their core stuff, like Darksiders, got bought up by Nordic Studios, which is now THQ Nordic. And they had a concept for a RPG way back that like also featured like deep dungeon diving, and they finally made it a reality. It's a game that's coming up on Steam, and it actually looks really good. It's coming out in October, like early October. I think it's like the first or something. It's called Battle Chasers Night War, and it actually it's got some sick design. It's got like the turn-based combat kind of thing and like dungeon diving, and it just has this really sick art style to it that's kind of like fantasy steampunk kind of thing. Like I've been looking into some of these, you know, smaller games coming up that just have such amazing potential. And there's another one, because the survival game genre is obviously really huge. Like, you have just some of these amazing games, and some of them are finally starting to make them out of early access. Like, The Long Night just came up, and that's pretty much Canadian Living Simulator. It's actually really good. But there's another one called Rend. And
Rend.
It is, it's taking a very unique stance on it, because normally survival games, you know, it's everyone fights for themselves and shit, but this one is putting, there's factions, and each player's joined the factions, and pretty much there's a clock on the world. And eventually the world ends. Like, you fight off hordes and hordes and hordes until you can't fight anymore. And the world ends and restarts. And fucking, it's like a Ragnarok-esque event actually happens. But during the whole time, it's like you work together. You're finding like these mythical legendary items. Like, one that give you wings so you can fly. And another one that's like this legendary fully automatic crossbow and stuff like that. It's not guns. It's like fantasy and like like high fantasy kind of, so magic and stuff too, but it looked so sick. I loved the idea of it.
That sounds pretty cool. I have to check that one out. Yeah. I haven't heard much about that one.
Look, just anyone listening, you want to see it? Look up Rend on Steam, definitely. And of course, it's on Unreal Engine 4. So,
yeah, you know that Unreal Engine. There's nothing good that comes out of that.
Wouldn't mind. Well, actually, I was about to say wouldn't mind a new Unreal tournament, but there is one on the new Unreal Engine. It's actually pretty sick. I remember trying it out a while back.
Nice. Very good. Okay. That's kind of essentially what we're going to do here. We're going to goof the hell off. And we're just going to talk random video stuff. We're going to talk what we like, what we're looking forward to, and what we're playing. Yes. And I kind of want to wrap up each episode with a with a suggested game for anybody who's listening, and then with a game that you're looking forward to.
Yes.
So I'll let you go first. Suggested game.
All right. Suggest for anyone who's listening. Well, I mean, I'm not going to go with the obvious, like PUBG. Everyone and their mother by this point knows that that game exists.
What? What is that?
Yeah, exactly. but it's kind of an older game, but they announced this huge update that's coming up that actually got me really excited for it. It's a game I play in spurts. Give Warframe a shot if you've never played it before, or if you have played it before and have taken a break. Give it a shot. They've got this huge open world update coming out, and there's going to be like custom weapon creation and everything. Just go play it again. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that's actually a good one, because we've talked about that update, and it's exciting.
Yes.
I am going to go the obvious route with mine and say, people, if you have a Switch, play Splatoon 2. If you don't have a Switch, go buy a Switch and play Splatoon 2. It's fun. If you don't like the aggravating headache of Overwatch and all these tryhards getting on your nerves, play Splatoon 2. It's a breath of fresh air in these competitive shooter world. I highly enjoy it. Now, what's coming out that you're looking forward to?
What is coming out that I'm looking forward to? They announced from the people who made Dark Souls, they announced a Bloodborne-esque, Dark Souls-esque game. It was I don't remember the exact name.
Is that the vampire one?
The vampire one, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. God, I can't think of the name either, but that does look good. Yes.
Well, I'll actually think of one I can name for people, but yeah, if people feel like going off that vague description, go play that one. Yeah. Otherwise, the one that's coming up that I am for sure 100% hyped for is the Dragon Ball fighting game made by the people who make Guilty Gear and Blaze Blue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My brother was talking about that earlier. He's looking forward to that one. I'm going to go with one I talked about earlier. It's Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. It comes out next Friday. Definitely check that out. Support Ninja Theory with what they're doing with this one if you can. I'm looking forward to that one. I do plan on, if I can, twitching the entire game in segments. If people are interested, I'll give you information later on how to you know, follow us and stuff like that. But I'm going to go with Hellblade.
I think that's by that. Come to think, aren't those the people who made Heavenly Sword?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yep. Oh, that game was so good.
There you go. That's all. There you go.
Oh, man. Yeah. That actually kind of gets me hyped because I liked Heavenly Sword.
You're welcome again. Well, there you go. Again, I'm Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Cuckoo Kachui. You can also follow me on Twitch with the same name. Austin?
I'm Austin. You can find me on Twitter at The Shittiest Memer. And on Twitch at Vex the Sunbro. I stream random games, and I'm a huge Dark Souls fan. So, you know, deal with that.
Deal with it, people. Awesome. And I'm going to leave you with one more thing.
Yeah.
Wow. I love you, bro.
I love you too, bro.
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 Hey guys, Kevin here. Thanks so much for checking out this first episode of Bro Team Gamercast. This is something we've been talking about for a while, and we're really excited to finally get it going. Thank you guys for all your support with everything we're doing right now. It really means a lot to us. I just wanted to let you guys know, if you wanted to shoot us an email for the Bro Team, maybe something you want to talk about, maybe you want to talk about a video game or talk about something you're excited about coming out, you can shoot us an email at broteamgamercast@gmail.com. We'd love to read that on the podcast for you. If you feel like shooting one over, go ahead and do so. You can check out more of the things we're working on at thetailfeather.com. You'll find links to our magazine there, our other podcasts there, and soon you'll see a lot of Twitch activity there. So seriously, guys, thank you for everything you do. Game on. Later, bros.